Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski in for Joe today. Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking Titans, all things AFC South. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Michael DeRocco, who covers the Jags for ESPN. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all today?
D-Rock, how are they treating you?
Can't complain. Everybody seems to be happy down here in Jacksonville for a change after the end of last season. Waiting on my free bottle of mayonnaise fragrance, though. I'm assuming that you've got some of that packed up for me, PK, and already sent.
Well, they're actually, it's very limited. So he sold out. The marketing is fantastic. They sold out of yesterday's, and I was saying earlier, I have an alarm set for when it goes back on the market today. We'll see if I could survive the mad rush. But I could see you smelling like mayonnaise.
I was just going to say, if I come up there to that press box in December and you're not smelling like mayonnaise, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, the ladies love it. I'm sure my wife would be. Really, I'm going to pull her across the room to me with eau de mayonnaise.
Yes.
The Jaguars thing last year was, I was talking to Pete Prisco, our mutual friend down here from CBS. He said they didn't learn how to win. And wondering if you agree with that and what you think gets them over the hump in that department.
Yeah, in the locker room after that loss in Nashville last year, Josh Allen, you know, said, hey, you know, remember 2022 when we found it in the second half of the season? He said everybody here was just waiting around for that spark to happen again, and it never did. And that's a pretty damning statement because it means nobody grabbed anybody else by the throat or grabbed their face mask or stood up in the locker room and said, hey, this is enough. This losing has to stop. This isn't what we're doing isn't good enough. Your effort isn't good enough. My effort isn't good enough. I mean, I think that is a big part of their problem is there's a big difference in being the team that comes out of nowhere that nobody's ready for and being the team that everybody's coming for. And that's what the Jaguars found themselves in last year. Now, obviously, the injuries didn't hurt to Kirk and Zay Jones and along the offensive line, and clearly Trevor Lawrence was banged up the last month of the season. So that all played a factor into it. But, you know, it's not a coincidence that they brought in guys like Mitch Morse, the center from Buffalo, and Darnell Savage, the safety from Green Bay, Devin Duvernay from Baltimore, Gabe Davis from Buffalo, Eric Armstead from San Francisco. Those six guys, and I'm probably missing some, but Ronald Darby as well. But those six guys have 49 playoff games, 12 conference title game appearances, and 3 Super Bowl appearances. So that's not a coincidence that they brought those veterans in, guys that have been there at the end of the season, guys that have played in games that – you know, like that Tennessee game up there, the season finale last year, where it's a do-or-die kind of game. So that's sort of a big issue. The question is, though, can they stay healthy? Can some of these older guys stay healthy? But now they feel like they finally got the good mix of those veteran guys that have been there and know what it takes to win and the talented guys that they've had for the last couple of years.
We know Calvin Ridley was very close to returning to Jacksonville, and the Titans kind of swooped in and stole them, if you will. What do you think the Titans are getting there? How big a loss for the Jags? And is Gabe Davis kind of the replacement? Different kind of guy, bigger, not as fast. What are the Titans getting?
Calvin Ridley didn't know where he was supposed to be all of the time and wasn't 100% sure of some of those checks all of the time, and missed some for sure, missed some adjustments, and still ended up with 1,000 yards. So what they're doing is they're getting a guy that if he can, once he finally feels comfortable in the offense, I mean, he's a 1,200, 1,300-yard receiver without question. I mean, he's still got the same skills he had when he was down there in Atlanta. I mean, during camp last year, he was the best player on the field here in Jacksonville. So I expect him to kind of continue. Now, it just sort of depends on how quickly he feels comfortable in the offense, how quickly he picks it all up, and he develops that chemistry with Levis. But, you know, they've got a game breaker there who can turn games around as long as, you know, like I said, he's comfortable with everything he's doing. And that takes time with anybody. But with Calvin Ridley, it may take a little bit longer than maybe anticipated.
Michael DiRocco with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, obviously, a huge deal for Trevor Lawrence in the offseason. You mentioned Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas Jr., drafted in the first round. As you look at the offense, how equipped is the offense this year, in your opinion, to have more success than we saw a year ago? And how much pressure is on Lawrence after signing the deal to have a career year this season?
Yeah, you know, Gabe Davis isn't the same kind of player as Calvin Ridley, but he's 25 years old. I think he's got 30 touchdown catches, and he averages 17.6 yards a catch in his career. So, or 16.7, excuse me, yards per catch in his career. So, you know, the Jags wanted to go downfield more offensively. That's why they brought in Gabe Davis in addition to the veteran stuff, and why they signed Brian Thomas, or drafted Brian Thomas Jr., you know, the kid out of LSU. They want to go downfield a lot more than they have in the past. Now, that was partly because of the offensive line and partly because of some injuries that I mentioned before. But I think this offense has a chance to be really, really good. The second half of the 2022 season, when they were just putting up points, that's what I think this offense can be again if the offensive line's any good. That was a major issue for them last year, and they ran it all back except for the center, Mitch Morse. They brought the left guard back, who was hurt. They brought the left tackle back, the right guard, who's always hurt. They brought back as well Brandon Sheriff. So that's the key for me, is if this offensive line can just be a middle-of-the-pack offensive line. They don't have to be great, just middle of the pack. And last year they were at the bottom of the league in pass block win rate and run block win rate. Then that offense has a chance to be really, really productive. And as for Trevor Lawrence, look, it's year four, year three with Doug Peterson. When you sign a big deal that you end up with $55 million a year average annual salary, there's no more excuses now. They've paid him, and it's on his shoulders. You've got to make this team a consistent winner. You've got to make the guys around you better. And more importantly, you got to stop turning the ball over. 60 turnovers in 3 years is just ridiculous. I looked this up the other day. He's played 3 years. His next fumble will break the record for most fumbles in franchise history.
Wow.
I mean, that's just crazy. So, look, if that offensive line plays better and Trevor Lawrence stops turning the ball over, guys stay healthy, then I think this has got a chance to be a top 10 offense without question.
So, we know last year everybody was picking Jacksonville heading into the year. This year it's going to be Houston. Everybody's going to pick Houston to win the division. How do you view this division as a whole heading into this year? Do you think that all four teams have a chance to be in playoff contention late in the season? How do you view what we may see from the AFC South this year as a whole?
I think it's going to be the most competitive division in the league. I really do. I like all the moves that the Titans have made. I like the moves the Texans made. The one that I'm not sure how that's going to work out is the Stephon Diggs stuff. Is that going to blow up in their face? Can C.J. Stroud handle Stephon Diggs if he goes full diva, which we all expect, because that's kind of the way he is? So you wonder how that's going to shake out. And how do the Texans handle, you know, being the team that everybody's coming for? That's, you know, we talked earlier, that's something the Jaguars didn't handle very well at all. You know, can they handle it a little better? But I think, you know, I think the Texans are probably the best team in the division. I'll pick them to win it. But after that, it wouldn't surprise me if any of the other three teams finish second. And I would not be stunned either if we're entering December and all four teams have a shot at a wild card berth, have a shot at the one of the wild card berths. I mean, I just think it's going to be that competitive and that close. We might see it come down to the last weekend of the season like we did last year, which was really fun, to be honest with you.
If it's not a breakout year for the Jags, will the fan base be restless with Peterson?
A little bit, because I think down here there's the Doug Peterson should grab play calling duties again. He should do that and you know, put Press Taylor on the bench. You know, Doug Peterson called plays the first half of games in 2022, and Press Taylor called plays in the second half of games. And we all saw how they rallied in the second half of the season and how they had a lot of success in the second half of games. Last year, fans down here, they want Press Taylor gone. I think if we're talking about all the problems this team had last year, who's calling plays is like ninth or tenth on my list of problems that they had to deal with last year. But you know how fans are, man. They seize on one thing and, you know, bad play calls, that's a terrible play. You know, so there's a little bit of heat on Doug to go ahead and become the play caller again, which I don't think is going to happen. But if it's another, you know, 9-8, they're not in it in the last week of the season, there's going to be some pressure because the owner has said, he said it twice now, he said it right after the stadium deal was done, and he said it on the broadcast the other night, hey, time to win is now. So when your owner's saying that, there's probably going to be a little heat on you if you don't.
Well, Michael, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, and we'll see if we can get you some cologne in the future too.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Have a good season, pal.
Thanks, Paul.
Michael DiRocco, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Some interesting stuff that he said there on Calvin Ridley that I want to drill down on coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
What do you think the Titans are getting there? How big a loss for the Jags? And is Gabe Davis kind of the replacement? Different kind of guy, bigger, not as fast. What are the Titans getting?
Calvin Ridley didn't know where he was supposed to be all of the time and wasn't 100% sure of some of those checks all of the time, and missed some for sure, missed some adjustments, and still ended up with 1,000 yards. So what they're doing is they're getting a guy that if he can, once he finally feels comfortable in the offense, I mean, he's a 1,300 yard receiver without question. I mean, he's still got the same skills he had when he was down there in Atlanta. I mean, during camp last year, he was the best player on the field here in Jacksonville. So I expect him to kind of continue. Now, it just sort of depends on how quickly he feels comfortable in the offense, how quickly he picks it all up, and he develops that chemistry with Levis. But, you know, they've got a game breaker there who can turn games around as long as, you know, like I said, he's comfortable with everything he's doing. And that takes time with anybody. But with Calvin Ridley, it may take a little bit longer than maybe anticipated.
How's Michael DiRocco on with us in the last segment, ESPN Jags reporter. Obviously, spent a lot of time with Calvin Ridley last year with Jacksonville in that offense. I thought that answer was pretty interesting about how, you know, it took him some time to kind of get used to the offense. What didn't always know where to be, know what the checks were, and still ended up with over 1,000 yards. Sam on our YouTube chat says, I never heard about those issues with Ridley in Atlanta or so far here. So maybe those issues were on the Jags. What do you make of what DiRocco had to say there about Ridley and what that could mean for the Titans this year?
Part of it was on the Jags in that they asked him to do more than they anticipated asking him to do because they got banged up at receiver. And so they wanted him to be Ja'Marr Chase, who moves around, but not all the time. And Brian Callahan has said that they want him to be Ja'Marr Chase, and that means a lot to Brian Callahan coming from Cincinnati.
Yep.
Jacksonville never, I mean, this has been made clear, and he said as much. He never really got to do what the intention was for him to do there because of the things that happened on that roster around him. So while those comments are somewhat concerning, I think he was overextended. And Brian Callahan, you know, I asked for kind of lessons learned out of Cincinnati, and one of the big things he said was, don't ask guys to do things that they can't do. And so if they feel like, you know, putting Calvin Ridley all over the place is overextending him and going to produce problems like that, they won't do it. We had a limited snapshot of the first team offense, yep, obviously, because they didn't have that many snaps. I do think they're going to move wide receivers around, but I think Ridley ultimately is going to be in one spot, what, you know, 85% of the time. Yep. And in that 85% of the time, I would think you could be more confident that he's going to know the position well, and it's going to be tailored to him.
Well, I think to DeRocco's point there, like if all that was the case last year and they were overextending him and there were times where he didn't know where to be and there, you know, the back half of the season going the way it did for Jacksonville and he still ended up with over 1,000 yards, it's pretty good. It does make you wonder about, you know, if those things are taken care of and he stays healthy and the offense suits him and all those things go right this year, what does that mean for his production and what that could look like? I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, not that this is anything new, but watching him catch the ball the other night in the game and then the acceleration with the ball in his hands after, it does kind of open your eyes a little bit of, man, that guy is quick. He's a really good athlete, and there's some burst to him that has just not been very common with receivers around here. That was cool to see the other night.
Yeah, I mean, his watching him run is, you know, he runs unlike anybody around here has run in a very long time. And if you go look at the Jags receiving stats last year, Evan Engram was their main guy, 114 catches, but that's at an 8.4 clip. Ridley, 76 at a 13.4 clip. Travis Etienne, 58. And Christian Kirk, 57, also at 13.8. He had a little bit more per reception than Ridley. And then Zay Jones. Zay Jones only had 321 yards, so they weren't getting out of him what they wanted. So Kirk and Jones, you know, they didn't get as much as they expected. So it really was, in terms of wide receivers, overly Ridley reliant. And I think this is a situation where having Hopkins and having Boyd, having potentially Burks in the mix there will take some burden off of him, where less is more. And I don't mean less necessarily in terms of targets, though he had 136 targets. Is he going to get 136 targets in this offense?
I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of people to be targeted. You know, we talk about the running backs. We're talking about those other two or three receivers, and then you've got to factor in the tight ends a little bit. They're not getting anything close to 114 between them like Engram did. But, you know, I think he's getting fewer than 136 targets, but they're probably better targets.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, like there's also the idea that Calvin Ridley – is just the deep threat guy. And he can be that. He can run down the field. He can get open, all those things. But I think one of the things that has been cool to watch from him throughout camp, even in the game the other night, he's a pretty good route runner. Like he gets himself open, and the ball in his hands after the catch is also going to be interesting to see too. He's not just a run the ball 50, or run 55 yards down the field, throw your hand up and have Levis hit kind of guy, although he can do that.
And on that catch was what, 26 yards, I think? Would he catch the ball at maybe 7 or 8 yards?
And
I think he had to slow down a little to not run into coverage, to be open in the middle, to be able to ramp up. But, yeah, you know, they're going to have a lot more yak yards on some of this stuff than they did on some of Levis's big completions last year, which were just long throws. Not that they're not going to have those also. And they're going to be more efficient in terms of checking the ball down. He's not going to force. That's why the completion percentage is going to go up. He's not going to force this deep stuff, where last year You know, they get in the third and 10, and they just take their chance a lot of times because his arm strength and quick release was the best thing they had going for him.
What have you seen from Boyd to this point in camp in terms of the factor you think he can be in the offense and how the Titans will use him heading into the season?
I mean, he's efficient and knows how to work that middle part of the field from underneath. He's not going to get open in a big way, so he's a little bit like DeAndre Hopkins in that, and Hopkins hates when you talk about this, but say it in a complimentary way. Hopkins makes catches covered. You know, a quarterback has to have faith in him and put it in the spot, and Hopkins is going to catch it, you know, 99 out of 100 times. And, you know, Boyd is not that level, but Boyd is pretty damn crafty in terms of getting – he's not as good as he used to be. He's slowed down, but he's reliable. And, you know, it's been a while since the Titans were efficient with that the way they need to be. Slot receiver's been an issue for them, you know, for a while. They tried with Adam Humphries and now Phillips, I think, you know, has been a failure. But last year, I think his failure was a failure to use him correctly when he came back. You know, we were watching games and saying, if only they had a guy who could get to 4 yards on third and four and turn his back and find a little pocket. And he came back, and they didn't use him that way somehow. Seemed to me that Tim Kelly just didn't have a feel for Kyle Phillips. I'm really intrigued by the Phillips-Kinsey-Jackson competition.
Yep.
And I'm not a Kinsey guy. I just think, you know, if he hasn't made it to the NFL level to play on game days to this point, and three or four more classes of receivers have come into the league, I just don't see him excelling against NFL defenses, even though he's gotten better. So I prefer Phillips or Jackson, and those are backups to Boyd at this stage.
Do you think it's possible that they keep seven guys at wide receiver? That seems like a lot, and you can make the argument with those three guys you just mentioned that at some point you're getting a little redundant there, but do you think it's possible they keep seven?
I think it's a lot redundant there. So how much can Kyaris Jackson play outside?
Right.
Right. To me, he would be the seventh if they view him as more versatile and able to play outside and if he keeps it up in the return game. But I don't think you can keep two out of the three of Phillips, Kinsey, and Jackson. There's just too much redundancy amongst them and then behind Boyd, right, who's going to get 85% of the slot snaps. I mean, you'd have to be really thin somewhere else to say, well, this guy's better than the 53rd guy somewhere else. And then you'd sit that guy on Sunday anyway. Yep. So it might be your best 53 in terms of pure talent, but it's not going to help you on Sunday unless somebody's hurt.
Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Durham. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and the wide receiver position. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Also, I've got some thoughts on the Cody Glass trade that the Predators made yesterday as too. All that coming up. Mike Herndon at 8 o'clock. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Indy racing fans, the Big Machine Indy Show Car will be on display this Friday at Soar Adventure Tower in Franklin. Come check it out from 6 to 8 p.m. And while you're there, register to win tickets to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Once again, that coming up this Friday. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the PK rant coming up at 7:45. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharski.com will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him. How about this question from Ed on YouTube?
Edward.
Is it possible they keep four tight ends, two Ys and two Fs? Do you think four tight ends will be kept, or are they going to stick with three this year?
You know, I haven't looked at the roster numbers, I have to admit. But I don't think so, based on the fact that they're going to play three wide. So I don't know that you need that depth. And I also don't know that anybody's demanding it. I know the two young tight ends have done a nice job, again, down low in the rotation. But I think you could have two easily, maybe three on the practice squad. I think that Thomas Odukoya, and I brought this up with Brian Callahan recently, needs to be released from this international exemption. He's an international exemption now on the roster, which I think might be at 91.
Yep.
And if they put him on the practice squad, he's the 17th instead of the 16th guy, or one of the 16 guys. But the problem is, if he's on the practice squad as the 17th guy, you can't call him to the roster.
Right.
And so if Nick Vannette got hurt, they would have to go to another guy on the practice squad for immediate access if Odukoya is the international exemption. They need, in my estimation, the guy's done well enough that they need to give him one of the 16 spots. Because if he's on the practice squad as the 17th, in order to get him activated, you have to make him one of the 16 and wait 3 weeks.
Yeah.
For him to be call-upable.
Which could do you almost no good, depending on the situation.
Right. Yeah. So it's a long-term call-up. We want this guy in a month.
Right.
And that's more, you know, I don't know, if somebody goes down long-term, you say, well, we're going to use this guy temporarily while we wait for Odukoya for a more permanent solution. So I'm rooting for him to graduate from the international program into a full-fledged NFL practice squad player at least. And I think he deserves that.
That is
I thought he deserved a lash.
I think he's, from what we've seen of him, and again, it's preseason, but what we've seen from him, I think he's been good for a couple years.
Now, he had a stupid penalty.
He did. I thought it was also interesting what Callahan said about that, of after the penalty, trying to get him the ball quickly and to get him to move on from it. I thought that was pretty interesting too.
And he kind of said the same about the Levis sneak.
Yep.
After, now that wasn't Levis's penalty, but they just wanted to get back to something similar and quick.
So obviously we talked with you on Monday about the return part of this with Kyaris Jackson, Jaquan Jackson, the two big returns we saw from the new kickoff rule. What does Kyaris Jackson, what's the path to making the team if he doesn't show more than he's shown at wide receiver? Like, can he be so good at the kickoff return that the Titans are forced to keep him? Or if he doesn't bring more value at wide receiver, regardless of how good he is returning kicks, do you just have to move on to somebody else at that spot just for the sake of the rest of your roster at that point?
Well, he could be so good as a returner that they have to keep him, I think. The question is, like, do they go into this game with him as the returner, or do they want to look at some other people who, you know, are more likely to be on the 53? I don't know what the strategy is there. And he needs to keep making plays at receiver. I don't know if you're going to put a guy like that on other special teams to cover and the like, if you want to risk him. Like, if he's your big time returner, do you want him running down and hitting people?
Right.
And that's a good question. I'll actually try to ask Callahan that today. I like Kyaris Jackson, and he is more different than the guys he's competing with. But he's got to sustain it here. You know, it's only.
It's a heck of a return the other night.
Yeah,
heck of a return.
Two spins.
Yeah,
liked it.
I did too. On the Cody Glass front, so the Preds made a trade yesterday. Cody Glass traded from the Predators to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Preds also sent a 2025 third round pick and a 26 sixth round pick. So basically, a pure salary dump yesterday from the Preds. They got back Jordan Frasca, who is a prospect from Pittsburgh. So Preds have cleared up some money here. I think they've got just over $3 million in cap space now available to them. They still have to figure out a contract for Juuso Parsonen and still have to figure out a contract for Philip Tomasino as well. So some more moves to come from Barry Trotz, but we knew that they had to clear up some room and that Cody Glass was a candidate for that, given the cap hit at $2.5 million. On the Glass front, look, it just didn't work out. And you look back at that trade, they got him from Vegas. It was a three-way trade. The Ryan Ellis deal was sent over to Philadelphia. I think Ellis ended up playing four games for the Flyers, and that was it. And unfortunately for him, has not been able to play since then. Cody Glass, I thought, had a big opportunity heading into last year, and it just sucks for him because he couldn't stay healthy to begin the year, and then he was kind of behind the eight ball after that. And it just felt like at the end of the season, the writing was on the wall that he was not going to be a part of this team moving forward. So I'm interested to see how he does in Pittsburgh. My guess is it's probably just going to be more of what we've seen. I mean, he's had opportunities now in Vegas. He had an opportunity here and was not really able to take full advantage of that. So a salary dump move by Barry Trotz yesterday. I'm interested to see now with Parson and Tomasino, one of them making the team, both of them making the team. Going to be very interesting to monitor in camp because there's not many spots available at forward. But the Cody Glass era here in Nashville, now done. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have PK's rant coming up next. Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex
Road. Here we are with NWI, the fifth receiver on the team, which is what I said all along. He needed to be the fifth receiver on the team.
He hasn't been, though, has he?
You said he was going to be the number two receiver.
I did not.
Here comes the money.
And you can take that to the bank.
Here comes the money.
Show me the money.
Jared, you better yell.
Show me the money.
It is that time of the day. Normally the Rex Rant. Paul Kuharsky with us today. And PK has his rant ready to go. We'll take your thoughts as always. 615-737-1025. PK, the floor is yours.
I rant about websites in general, but about PayPal. Specifically, PayPal plays a big part in my life as I run a membership site. And PayPal does pretty well from taking a share of my money. In exchange for PayPal taking a share of my money, I think it should be more user-friendly. If you have a site that you can go and search things out and get, you know, grids that have categories and stuff, if you're trying to sort through information, and it has headers, all these headers should be clickable. I should be able to sort things in any manner that I want to sort things. It should be easy for me to navigate around PayPal. Let me tell you a secret about PayPal. You can't navigate bleep on there. All right? I wanted to look at things for a period of time, and what it does is it lures you. It cons you. Now, it says you can look at a certain time period. Yeah. And you go in there, they got a calendar function even. You can highlight the dates or you can manually punch in the dates. And then you hit filter and you ain't getting those dates. You're either getting a completely different range of dates or you're getting the crazy error message, a page loaded with code that tells you about the error message. But you know what's good? You can just go to the little thing and have a chat with somebody who calls. No, there's no access to anyone. You can't get any help at PayPal. They're going to take your money and let you struggle through trying to find what you need to find, which it turns out I'm never going to find. So, you know, who's going to figure out a way to sort through this stuff is me with the help of my accountant wife.
Yes.
So I'm going to print out spreadsheets from my own information, which is a pain, sort those in an Excel spreadsheet, not me, my wife, and then search these things item by item in PayPal. I think I can do that, search an item by item thing in PayPal. This is not a user-friendly app for or website for somebody that's giving them a decent payday off a, you know, small niche website. I'm not happy with PayPal right now.
So you love the combination of the, yeah, you can navigate this thing. Just click anywhere you need to click. And then we'll give you an error message, and there's no one there to talk about it.
Exactly.
Most of the chat stuff now, and like there's stuff like this when I'm trying to pay like a water bill.
Yeah.
And there's error messages popping up. It says, well, just chat with our person. And it's just an AI thing.
Well, so most of the time it's an AI thing, but if you fight through it long enough, it's much like if you fight through the phone long enough, you can eventually get to a living person. And then it's a question is if the living person is outsourced and if you can communicate with them and if they actually know what they're talking about. But sometimes you have a chance at getting help. Sometimes, like with PayPal, there is no chance of getting help. There is no avenue to getting help. It just keeps sending you to articles, and the articles don't address what you want. Then you find like a Reddit thread with somebody else making the same complaint and finding no answer. So at least you find like, well, I'm not the only person that's miserable with this. So there are people commiserating with you, and that's the lone victory that you could take. I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
Is there a path to rectifying this problem? Like, can we get a hold of the people at PayPal and see if we can't get this figured out?
I don't know. If we've got PayPal people listening, pkuharski@gmail.com is where I would love to find some answers. But
no.
Circumventing is what my plan is.
William from Madison says, that's why I changed to Venmo. Can you do stuff like that on Venmo? Or is it just like a exchange of money, right?
I can't take my entire operation and change it from PayPal, where people are members, to something else.
Yeah. I mean, you're stuck. It's PayPal or bust. Yeah. They've got you, as John McClain said yesterday, by the footballs.
By the footballs. Look at John McClain.
It's a tough one. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, the user-friendly navigation stuff. Even on like I've had WordPress sites in the past, and most of the time it's pretty good. But there are some times where I needed some help on that, and I tried to get on the chat, and it's just a no go. The person on the chat had no idea what to do. We have too many people in support roles
that
on some of these technical stuff
support.
That have no idea what they're doing. It's a problem nationwide in many different
ways. Well, and that ties broadly to the customer service issue in America that nobody really cares to serve the customer. That's a nice
title. Do they ask you for a tip on PayPal too? Because that's what everywhere I go now, it's like, hey, here's a tip option for you.
20%. I was somewhere at a counter lately where I just defaulted to my no tip thing, and actually as I walked away I was like, actually they did a lot compared to most counter tips. I maybe shouldn't have defaulted to no tips, but I'm such a no tip counter guy that I actually felt a little pang of guilt.
Did you?
Yeah.
Long lasting or just momentary?
No, momentary.
Okay.
It was gone. By the time I was back in the fresh air outside, I was past it. I was back to fretting about PayPal.
I thought about it for a brief second, and then I moved on with my life.
Yeah, I wish I could remember where it was. Oh, it was a burrito place. My burrito place in Hundred Oaks. Where they really do a lot back then. I mean, they got an assembly line, and they are working it. You know, folding those burritos, there's some skill involved in that. That's not pouring you soda.
I mean, I used to work at a pizza place, and I was like the guy in charge of cutting the pizza. And there was I went and picked up a pizza for a birthday party the other day, and there's an option to leave a tip for the people. And it's not a driver. I'm like, guys, you made the pizza.
Did you feel cutting the pizza was tip worthy?
No, I didn't.
Even when you were cutting?
No, not even when I was cutting. Never got one. That wasn't a thing back when I was cutting
pizza. It's a guilt tip. And then people get in the habit of tipping, and then everybody's tipping at the counter. I don't think most counter jobs are not tip worthy. But this burrito place is definitely tip worthy, and I screwed them.
I got a texture that says, PK's guilt lasts as long as a stick of Juicy Fruit. Yeah.
No, this was less long than that. But next time I'm there, I'm going to double them up.
Recompense.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, big payback's coming.
615-737-1025.
I did smell like a burrito all day.
Did you?
So they got me back.
Just imagine what that combo could be if you get the Will Levis cologne with the
burrito
with the
mayonnaise.
Burrito smell. That'd be good.
See, I feel like it's more than. I feel like you're more compelled to spray it on food than on your neck.
Interesting.
And once I get a hold of this, I'm really gonna do.
You gonna taste test it?
I'm gonna write about it. The smell and everything.
What have Mike heard?
No, I feel compelled not to open it to keep it as a collector's item. Maybe I get two bottles. One is a collector. You know, some of those collectors of those dumb, like, Star Wars figurines, yeah. They get one to play with and one to keep.
One
boxed.
To keep? Yes. PK is just kind of this big supply of the cologne sitting on
secondary
his shelf.
Market.
Yes. Mike Herndon will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply. Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.